Suddenly, Jesus was transformed before them. His face as dazzling as the sun, his clothing as radiant as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah were there with him, talking to him of his passage, his exodus, his passing over from life to death and back to life again. Suddenly, a bright cloud overwhelmed them, and out of the cloud there came that voice, "Listen. Listen to him." These are the elements of that wondrous happening, that transfiguration, witnessed by Peter, James, and John. It had a profound effect on the three of them. It became one of the sharpest memories when they reached the point of proclaiming the message of Jesus. It rivets our attention still today. But you need to grasp really what the point of it was. You need to grasp what essential revelation is contained in that mysterious happening. What does it mean for us, for you, for me, here, now? What does it mean? It means a special call for us. That's what it means. And Abraham, in the first reading today, he can help us understand this special call. "Go forth," Abraham was told. "Go forth from the land of your people. Go forth from your father's house. Go forth to a land I will show you." Abraham was asked to go forth from his own land, that familiar place, those familiar ways, asked to leave all that. Abraham was asked to go forth from his own father's house, the place where he most belonged, the place where he was most himself, where he came to himself. Abraham was asked to go forth to a land I will show you. And that's how it happened that the promised land fixed itself in his imagination and his memory. And that's how it happened that all the children of Abraham and all the years that followed, that's how it happened that they, all the way from the Exodus to the Zionist movement of the last century, that's how it happened that they yearned for this promised land. It became their dream, this land. It became the thing that kept them going through all the tragedies and all the sufferings of their very checkered history. "Go forth to a land that I will show you." You know this as well as I. This has been a dream for us too, here in America, so often called a land of promise. This has been our dream as well. This has been a dream, our dream, yearning for a home of our own, yearning for property that belongs to us alone, a place of our own, where we could settle, where we could stretch out, where we could expand and grow in every conceivable way. This has been our dream too, just as the promised land was the Hebrew dream. But look now at what Jesus reveals to us in the gospel. Take all that picture of Abraham and all that yearning for a land and set it right against the Jesus in today's gospel. The land I will show you is really not so much a land at all. The land that I will show you is really not so much a place at all. The gospel tells us that the land the Lord will show us is a condition, not a place, a condition. The gospel tells us it is a state. The gospel tells us it is a way of life, a way of living. Not a where of living. Jesus in the Transfiguration takes that notion of the promised land and he turns it inside out to reveal what it really is. The land I will show you, that land he did show the three on the Mount of Transfiguration. That land he did show the 12 and all the rest of us on the day of the resurrection. That land is his risen life and our share in it. That's what I mean when I say it's not a place, it's a condition, it's a relationship. That's the promised thing, not the piece of ground, not the spot of earth. The relationship with the risen Christ. That land is his risen life. You and I, we are called to share in that risen life. You and I, even now, we are being remade slowly into that risen life. And that's what the church wants us to understand today. That's what this gospel wants us to understand today. His grace, the product of his risen life, his grace is now at work in us. His grace now invites us to cooperate with that work. Through that grace, if we open ourselves to it, through that grace, a wondrous harmony settles over all our powers, mental and emotional and physical. Through that grace, a wondrous harmony settles over all our relationships, especially the relationship with God. We have to get that right first if we're going to have our relationships with one another be right. Through his grace, a wondrous harmony settles over all our use of this beautiful created world he gave us. That's the grace of the risen life at work in us. That's the message of the transfigured Christ this morning. Through that grace, this land he will show us really means that we are being drawn more and more into his risen life. more and more into his bright cloud. More and more into his voice, dazzling as the sun, radiant as the light. The thing that holds us back, you know this, I know this very well. The thing that really holds us back is our preference for darkness. Our preference for sin. Our preference for selfishness. No thanks, God. We'd rather have it our way. That's the thing that holds us back. That taste for darkness. And so we gather up our energies during this Lenten season. We try again to die to self through the influence of his grace. We ask him today to replace our dark life with his bright life. We ask him to give us the risen life of his son Jesus, the Christ.